This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We'll get back into the Western Conference Finals here coming up for you in 20 minutes. We'll also give you this amazing story of the Yankees releasing a minor leaguer. And that one is quite interesting. But right now, we're going to head over here to Eric Chiafalo in his first week joining us from the nosebleed seats. Zach Wolchuk will be in about an hour. But here is Chief with the top 10 Cowboys players who need to step up in 2022.
Yes, sir. Looking to take that next step this season. Mike McCarthy says we're going to be better. We're going to be better just through the process. Number one, I trust our personnel process. I think we have to give our personnel department credit. And just what we did last year to this year, the change we had on defense from a personnel and coaching staff standpoint, that's the biggest change that I've ever been a part of, both the player and coaching. To pull all that together, there's a lot of hard work and a lot of credit that goes to a number of people. So he says he's got the same confidence that they'll do that moving forward. Mike McCarthy's trying to sell us on this is going to be an even better season than last year. And hopefully can end better. But I don't think any of us feel like this upcoming regular season for the Cowboys is going to be as fruitful from a win standpoint as last year, right? Are we all on board with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%. I think Jerry Jones is rubbing off on Mike McCarthy. If your lips are moving, you're selling.
There you go. And so we have, and he's selling because I guess he's what? I mean, he's talking about hot seat with McCarthy, aren't we right now?
Absolutely.
I would be backing off the expectations. You know, I think what Mike really feels like is, hell no, we're not going to be as good. We lost good players.
Yeah.
You know, this is about making long-term moves to make the organization better eventually because we had to cut some, you know, dead weight or whatever. But if I'm Mike McCarthy, I'm going to tell the reporters, listen, no, we're not going to be as good because the front office decided we're not going to be as good. And we didn't have a good enough first-round pick to make a big impact like Micah Parsons last year. We essentially drafted a second-rounder. He needs to hit the media with expectations.
That's right. Yeah, actually, I think that's a great point by you. That's the right approach, I think, if you're Mike McCarthy, to cover his own rear end. So, John Machota, Athletic, 10 Cowboys who need to step up most for the Dallas Cowboys to take the next step this season. First guy on the list, or I guess number 10 on the list, I should say, is Mr. DeMarcus Lawrence, who missed 10 games last season with a broken foot. He now gets the 3-year, $40 million contract, and he's 30 years old now, I believe. So, yeah, he's a guy that you desperately need, especially moving on from Randy Gregory. And to me, as long as he's healthy, he's always a guy that I appreciate, and the defense is head and shoulders better when he's on the field.
Can I ask you guys a question? And I like what they did. I like what John did with that. Him or Tyron Smith, of the guys that we get on Tyron Smith a lot about being injured all the time. Is DeMarcus Lawrence a similar version of Tyron Smith that plays defense?
You know, he had a 3 or 4 year window there in the middle where he was healthier.
He was healthier, right?
Yeah, yeah. I hope not, because he is one of the players that I think if he does stay healthy, has a legit chance to have a big season.
Yeah. But see, I just wonder, because we always get on Tyron Smith about him not miss. You know, you can always count on it for 12 games. You know, we never say that about Tank.
Yeah, and to Dawson's point, I mean, you had year one where he only played 7 games, and then year two, he plays in all 16 games. Year three, he only plays in 9, and then he goes from 2017 to 2020 playing every single game.
Okay.
So, and then last year happened. Now, is this start? You're 30 years old. Things are going to start adding
up
on
you. I'm glad you guys remember that, because I did not remember. I always felt like there was 2 or 3 games or something you're always dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
But good memory.
It was always hanging over your head, though, because of the severity of his back injuries early in his career.
It just kind of felt like that he was always not totally available, but that just proved me wrong right there.
So he's the guy that certainly needs to step up. I think we're all confident that DeMarcus Lawrence is still a baller as long as he is actually healthy. Yeah. And other than last year, the last 5 years, the dude has been.
Okay.
All right. The dude has been healthy. Now, the next guy that he gets to here is Dorrance Armstrong. And he points out, obviously, the departure of Randy Gregory. Someone's going to have to step up. Now, to me, this feels like a step up replacing Randy Gregory by committee. I don't know. Is there one person you're looking at to be like, hey, you really need to be the guy that replaces Randy Gregory? Or is it, hey, we got five or six guys that were kind of just rolling through here. You got Fowler. You got some of these young guys. But he's saying it's got to be you, Dorrance Armstrong.
I feel like Dorrance Armstrong actually showed us. I can't tell you how many Cowboy pregame shows I did where I just tried to will Dorrance Armstrong to having a great game. He'd have a 2.5 sack game, and then you wouldn't see him for 4 weeks. I thought last year was his best season when it came to how he played game in and game out.
Yeah, career high, 5 sacks, 12 quarterback hits, 13 games. Yeah.
He's a legit edge player now, but I think I'm with you, Chiafalo, where I think it's got to be by committee unless the rookie, you know, hits the ground running, Sam Williams, you know. But I've kind of I think the opportunity for Dante Fowler's passed.
You think it's passed?
I do.
Okay.
You don't believe in the Dan Quinn reclamation project, J-Ron Kearse style kind of thing?
I guess it could happen, but, you know, I think we look at that as exciting just because of his draft position, and that was so many years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. But there's a bunch of guys there. Fowler.
He had the one good year with the Rams, right? Yeah. 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was outstanding. But, you know, I don't think that you have the collection of pass rushers now to free him up.
But I do think that there is going to be enough. When you think about Dorrance Armstrong, then there is Dante Fowler, there is Chauncey Golston, there is Sam Williams, and then there's always the Micah factor as well. Yeah. So I still feel like the pressure, you're going to be able to get pressure there. Now DeMarcus Lawrence gets banged up and he's missing games. Now you start to get a little bit more concerned from that standpoint. Next guy who needs to step up for the Cowboys in order to have the type of season you want them to have, Neville Gallimore comes in at number 8. Mm. He had the dislocated elbow last year for a good chunk of the season. He missed the first 5 games or so. And so I guess he wasn't 100% even in that San Francisco game even. But you have Gallimore, you have Osa Odighizuwa coming back in year 2. But that's a guy, I mean, the interior of the defensive line, unless we think this Ridgeway dude's going to be stepping up in a big way.
Yeah, I think when you look at Neville Gallimore, he's different because he's a 3 or an under tackle, as is Osa. And so when I start to think of other guys like, and Tristan Hill will be in that under tackle kind of thing.
Does he make the team?
I think there's a good possibility that he doesn't. I think he doesn't have a sponsor here anymore. And, you know, he is going to have to change everybody's mind about him. I don't see him just naturally getting a spot because he was a second-round pick in 2019.
He's doughy, too. You know, he's worked on his body a little bit. But I think between Gallimore and Odighizuwa, you have, like, big, thick, strong, fast guys. Yeah. And they legitimately have a shot, I think, of making a career where Tristan Hill has been working uphill.
Number 7 on the list here, guys who need to step up for the Cowboys, Tony Pollard. And I'm going, Tony Pollard has stepped up, but the coaching staff has to step up to give him the opportunities, right? Because Tony Pollard, pretty much, the dude's a stud every time you put him on the field for the most part. There's a random brain fart fumble or something here or there, but the offense, the dynamic level of the offense and the home run ability of the offense skyrockets when he's on the field.
Maybe he could step up with his blitz pickup and you know, force himself on the field a little bit more.
That's fair.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that the whole thing is trying to protect Dak, and when you've got a leaky offensive line, maybe the ability to play him probably wasn't as presented like it needed to be.
Yeah, especially with the way that the offense now, and we'll see if they kind of pivot from this, but over the last few years, they continue to just go up and up and up with how often they're passing the ball on early downs. And I think from an analytics standpoint, everybody likes that. You want to see these teams that are passing the ball on early downs. But that makes you feel like, okay, we got to keep Zeke in there because I know it's first and second down, but it's not that we're handing him the ball. We want him in here to protect the quarterback. And I guess if Tony Pollard can do that, then that's going to help his cause get on the field a little bit more. Terrence Steele comes in at number six. That's a dude. I mean, how much of a drop-off do you think that actually is from Lael Collins?
Oh, I think it's Lael Collins, watching him play last year, clearly wasn't healthy, and then having to deal with all the suspension and things like that. Lael Collins will probably go and play better for Cincinnati than he played for you. They have a lot of faith. I tell you, there's just a lot of times where Terrence Steele is getting driven back into the pocket, you know, and then there's sometimes he's when they want to rush him, when they want to just bowl him back to the quarterback, they can. When they want to go wide on him, he's athletic enough to just kind of push him past the quarterback. So I am hoping there's some competition at right tackle, you know. And Bobby Belt comes on here all the time and tells us there's people in the organization aren't sure about Ball, you know. And here's a guy that spent all last season, you know, trying to get himself stronger and all that. I'll be interested to see, you know. Let's go is the one guy they seem to like, the kid from North Dakota. But, man, I hope there's some competition at right tackle.
Steele got a lot better last year. He needs another big jump like that to be a good right tackle. Like, he's going to put a lot of pressure on Dak.
Yeah.
And I think the entire offensive line is who needs to be on this list of guys who need to step up. He's got Tyron Smith coming in at number five. He hasn't played a full season since 2015. He's missed 20 games because of injury over the past two seasons.
Okay.
So to me, that is the big thing there, where it's guaranteed he's not playing all the games. Who's the guy that steps in to replace him?
Well, we'll see what happens at left guard. Seriously. I mean, we'll see what happens with Smith. They drafted Smith with the intent. If you look on the roster and all that, I mean, they've got Smith listed as an offensive tackle. He's playing guard right now until something happens with Tyron Smith, and then they're going to kick him out there. Watch. Unless Ball or Let's Go, one of those guys can.
Yeah. I think it's probably the right idea to go ahead and give Tyron a chance to prove that it didn't go horribly wrong, and that wasn't a sign last year. That was just a bad game against San Francisco. But if you have a few more games like the San Francisco game from Tyron Smith, you really got to be looking at Tyler as your left tackle of the future. That's the huge thing right there. If Tyron fails at left tackle and you have Steele at right tackle, it is going to be abysmal.
Oh, it's
going to
be
7-10.
It's going to be real bad. Biotish comes in at number four. Tyler Biotish, the center. He's coming into year three, and I think he's going to be in competition, right? Isn't this Farniak guy somebody that they kind of appreciate a little bit? Or do you think they're blowing smoke on that?
I think they want to try Connor McGovern over there too.
Oh, snapping balls?
Yeah, I think they want to try.
But he's the fullback. We got to get him a touchdown.
Well, you got a couple of fullbacks on the roster, right? It's Ryan Nall is one of those guys they're talking about. Nick Ralston. I think there are a couple of guys they're talking about playing legitimate fullback.
Well, Biotish, I don't know what the confidence. I think the latter half of the season, I think he played better, but he's not a guy that makes you feel great by any stretch of the imagination.
No, and the question about him is, though, was he able to make all the adjustments and things like that? Mm-hmm. And maybe the first few weeks he was over his head a little bit, but things kind of smoothed out for him as well.
So then 3-2-1 here. We go back to, the top six of these, it's mostly offense. I mean, all these are, it's mostly, hey, guys on offense. Other than Gallimore, Armstrong, and Lawrence, the remaining seven of the 10 who need to step up is all offense. And number one is Zeke, number two is Dak, and number three is CeeDee Lamb.
Mm. Which one of those do you think is most likely to step up and have a significantly better season?
I would say probably... CeeDee Lamb, because I think everything at like Dak's ability to be better is going to be so dependent on what's around him and the offensive line. And I don't feel necessarily confident in that. I'm kind of out on Zeke being like great again. He might give you a couple of early weeks, but the wear and tear adds up quickly on this guy.
I think John's did something really interesting here, and I would have him in the way of ranking of needing to step up. I'd go Lamb, Dak, and Zeke. Is how I would have it on my card. But I think all three of those guys, and Zeke, if it doesn't go well, there goes the contract. You push him out of the door. Then the evaluation turns into, well, what about Dak the following year? You know, we really have the right quarterback. You know, do we have a new coach? Do we, you know, CeeDee Lamb is, again, Bobby, we were all talking about this the other day. CeeDee Lamb's trying to get that fifth-year option.
Right.
You know, and if things don't play out, well, I think you got three guys right there that maybe in 2024 won't be on your football team.
Wow, that would be surprising.
If things don't work out.
Yeah, I think CeeDee Lamb's going to have a big year, though, because he's going to get all the opportunities.
So.
And he is a good player. Like, the raw numbers for Lamb, I think, are going to be pretty good.
He absolutely is a good player, but do they use him like a good player? You know?
No, they don't.
That's what I'm saying. I really question. There's a couple of things. We've argued about Pollard here. You know, I think there's some things you need to kind of question about this this offensive staff.
Hey, yeah, I was about to say, you know who needs to step up the most? It's Kellen Moore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was waiting for that name a little bit. I almost threw it out earlier, I think, when we were talking about Tony Pollard or something. I think it's on Kellen Moore. We've talked about his personality. Is he a little quiet guy? Is he an assertive leader? Does he fit in with the other macho NFL guys? Does he feel confident after a couple of years on the job saying, hey, guys, listen to me, not just going with the flow? Because going with the flow will get you in a lot of trouble with the Cowboys. You know, having your own ideas and insisting on things because you're the expert is why Dan Quinn is celebrated. And I think Kellen needs to hear that. Big day in the world of sports. How about the story of the Yankees releasing a minor leaguer? We also have a massive Mavs optimism. Even though they got smoked, wait until you see the numbers that Chiafalo has pulled up for you. That's next year on 105 Through the Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, welcome back, Nation. Have you ever had a friend who was always trying to mooch stuff from you? You know, he's always trying to be like, hey, man, let me get that. You have extras of those? Can I get one? You know, and it's one thing if it's like a chip or a sandwich or something. But maybe the guy was actually after the goods, you know, or maybe he stole something from you, him or her, at 877-881-1053. I bring it up because we got a baseball story here of interest, Brian.
I thought you were bringing it up because I was asking you if you had a charging cord for my phone.
Oh, no, I'd be happy to.
Wow,
know,
that would have been the most passive-aggressive way.
Wow. I'm about to say, man, you don't have to tell everybody I'm kind of like mooching off. You're trying to, like, I don't know, my scouting bag, I thought I had one in. Yeah. I don't know where it went. And
yeah.
So, again, I thought you were like, if you had a friend that just doesn't have anything in his scouting bag.
You know, they're brain dead. They don't know how to leave the house with what they need.
brought you a pretzel.
They got the world's biggest scouting bag or briefcase or whatever that is.
Scouting bag, yeah.
But they still can't manage to have what they need to accomplish their duties.
How damn old is that crusty bag over there?
It's seen a lot. It's been around the world.
It has. I guarantee it.
It's a good-looking bag, actually. Segment here is brought to you by Kent Academies.
It's not. You know better than that.
It's brought to you by the Frankels as well. If you're hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the Frankels, 214-333-3333, or go online to truckwreck.com. Yeah, light us up on those fan texts, though, as we talk about this Yankees prospect. And then I tell you what, Chiafalo has some massive Mavs optimism you're going to enjoy. Give it 5 minutes at most, and we'll be into that, why you should believe in game two. Yankees prospect Jake Sanford cut from the organization after it was revealed the former third-round pick was allegedly stealing equipment from his teammates in order to sell it. This is like Grandmaster Scam right here. It sounds like he might have some sort of a drug problem. Like, that actually is the kind of vibes that it gave you. And the people that text in are probably going to have, like, drug friends who stripped the aluminum out of their AC or something like that. Or what is that, the copper?
Copper.
Oh, the copper, for sure.
The creativity on those dudes, man. When you get to fiending on something, the creativity just skyrockets.
What's that thing they're snatching out of cars right now?
Yeah, the catalytic converters.
Yeah, I couldn't find one if I needed to, you know what I mean?
Oh, no,
yeah.
Same, bro.
when you could hit me with one, I wouldn't know. I got hit by a catalytic converter. I wouldn't know what was going on.
Yeah, what the hell? Is that what they had in the DeLorean for Back to the Future? Or was that the flux capacitor? I'm not sure. First time I bought a truck, the agent actually told me, now make sure you lock the tailgate because they'll come lift that son of a gun right off and put it on eBay. Yeah, I got a Nissan Frontier, a hatch or what? is that the tailgate? Yeah, the back thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, enough about, tweakers and what they steal. We go back to this Yankee dude. NewJersey.com reported Sanford.
Yank and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, he reportedly and repeatedly hounded his teammates to give him bats, gloves, and other equipment. And sometimes he just took it out of their lockers without consent. Who wants to buy minor league gear? I'd rather have a new glove than a minor leaguer's glove, unless it's like Mike Trout or something on his way to greatness.
If, you were talking about maybe he had an addiction problem, you think in the minor leagues that maybe couldn't pay the rent?
There's that.
He was just in over his head on trying to find a place to live. And
well, he did get, as a third-round pick in 2019, a $600,000 signing
bonus.
That's
not a problem then.
So maybe he blew through it.
Maybe he's out of money.
He might have blown through it.
I don't know.
Trying to maintain the lifestyle.
Yeah, maybe. To me, we had a coach. We had a coach at the Cowboys. I won't name him. That was stealing jerseys and stuff out of the laundry basket.
Dang.
And yeah, I won't name the coach.
He's gambling no longer, problem?
Please don't.
He's no longer here.
Please do.
But no. They got him on. They got him on video, like grabbing gear,
like a higher level coach.
Oh yeah,
got him on video stealing boxes.
can we please start? I want the truckwreck.com fan text to just inundate us with guesses, coaches' names that you think most likely.
Mike McCarthy
Cowboys
here.
I just want to see
names. This was a coach, seriously, and he was going into the laundry bin or whatever, taking jerseys out and stuff like that. Yeah, like gear, shoes.
Was he flipping it? I mean,
nobody knows. But maybe something too. Maybe this guy, if I would kind of think, well, maybe he's trying to help a high school. I'm trying to think of the good reasons why he would maybe do this.
Well, this
is he trying to help a program or something like that with bats and balls and stuff like gloves? Maybe they've got a high school program, middle school program or something that he's trying. I don't know.
This guy Sanford or the Cowboys coach?
Sanford.
Okay, Sanford was accused of scamming fans online by selling autographed equipment, then never actually sending it.
Okay, that's...
But getting the money and then not sending it, pretty outstanding.
Okay, well then he... Okay. Yeah, then, so this... Yeah. I don't know what this coach was doing at the Cowboys, by the way. I don't know what he was trying to do.
Probably game-worn gear, I think, or practice gear for an auction or something like that. Maybe folks around town. Well, this guy Sanford got caught because fans began calling him out on Twitter for his scamming.
That is stupid. He should have forged some signatures. Yeah, I got you some good stuff here.
Right. That's why I think maybe drugs, because you got to be so desperate to not care about the long-term consequences. You just want some more of whatever your deal is. Sanford ended up deactivating his Twitter account to try to run from it, but still had his Instagram account up, which says he's part of the Yankees organization. He played for three minor league teams in 2019 and 21 and has since signed with Ottawa of the Frontier League. So he had to head up to Canada there to continue on his baseball dream. I just can't imagine how you would risk something like that and violate the trust of your buddies and your teammates as a third-round pick. You got talent.
Yeah, you got a shot here.
Maybe he's just a klepto. Maybe he couldn't help it,
I guess one of his former teammates, Bob Stock, on the Twitter, he sees the story getting tweeted out by NewJersey.com, and so he quote tweets it and says, yeah, after a game one time, so this is a former teammate of this dude, Sanford, says, yeah, after a game one time, a fan approached me with my own bat and asked me to sign it. Incredulously, he says, I asked him, how did you get my bat? He said my teammate traded it to him for some baseball cards.
No way.
Oh. And now, a few months later, he says that teammate has been released for rampant stealing.
Wow. Yeah, can you sign this? Wait a minute. I've been looking for this thing. I was on an 8-game hitting streak with this bad boy.
Can you imagine, you're running late for practice one day, so you're scrambling. You're like, oh, wait, where the hell's my glove? I'm trying to run out on the field here. Coach is about to rip me for being late. I was cutting it close, and now because my teammate is stealing my gloves and whatnot, I can't even show up appropriately to practice.
I think Cheech took my phone cord out of my bag.
Yeah.
I think so.
I don't have the iPhone 3, bro. It wouldn't even work for my phone. Bleephole needs a new phone. He's needed one for a decade. He's a cheap ass. Won't go get a new phone.
Your phone doesn't even use the lightning cord, bro.
Every day,
we're so crusty.
He's like, man, my phone is on 5%. Every day. My phone's on 1%.
He's been I deserved everything I just got right there. Absolutely deserved everything I just got.
Gosh. Okay, the text, 214. Jay Jeezy here, guys. My bad on the laundry snatching.
Yeah. Not him.
They're stealing diesel particulate filters as well. Like new, they're $1,500.
Whoa.
Wow. 972. A bunch of guys saying had to be Campo. Not Campo. Campo's a man of honesty.
I was thinking Campo, dude. No. I don't know why.
If somebody's going to rummage through the laundry, it looks like a Campo would, though.
On that staff.
He looks like a rummager of the laundries.
It was on that staff.
781. I work for a security company who installs CCTV and access control. We have video of two guys stealing catalytic converters off of our two company vehicles.
Oh.
Yeah,
don't
dude.
Where you eat, man.
They see those catalytic converters and their eyes light up. It's like they get to play Plinko on Price is Right. 817. Keep up, Brian. All minor leaguers have their housing provided for them now by the MLB teams.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, there's
keep up. I mean, I know they just started, but maybe needs a little more.
Okay, there's a lot of fun to be had in this conversation. Maybe we'll pick it up later. It's time now to go over the console to Eric Chiafalo, who has some reason for massive Mavs optimism, even though they got blown out in game one.
Jeez. Yes, so we have some good optimism in regards to last night specifically, but I also wanted to read this because Tim Cato, Athletic, does a great job covering this Mavs team, and he put things in perspective, I felt like, in a nice way in his game recap article where he says, hey, you're down. Obviously, you're down 1-0 now in this series. Last night was not very, it was definitely not the game that we were hoping for. But he says, hey, listen, the Mavs started the season getting blown out. They were at one point 16-18. They made a major midseason trade. They lost the first game of the first round. They didn't even have Luka. They're down 2-0 in the Western Conference semifinals against the Phoenix Suns. Now they trail 1-0, of course, in the Western Conference finals to the Warriors. But this team has rescued itself from much more precarious situations. It's certainly capable of adjusting and doing so again. So I appreciated that from him, where, hey, it's not even just in the small sample size of the playoffs where you've gotten down and you figured out a way. You came out of the gates like garbage. You didn't know how to play defense for the first 2 months of the season, whatever it was. You found ways to overcome crappy situations, which is kind of where you're sitting at right now, down 1-0, and you don't have home court advantage in the series. So I wanted to go big picture on that just to make us feel better. Now,
I love that angle too, by the way. Yeah, that's the number one thing that was in my mind when I woke up this morning. Like, they got this. Mm-hmm. Luka will figure out how to get an advantage on offense, and yep. Jason Kidd's going to, you know, batten down the hatches on defense, no doubt.
So that's something that gives you some confidence. But then you look more specifically into last night's game, and there's a really good sort of saber metric these days in basketball that helps you kind of cipher through a couple of things. And it's called shot quality. Very simple. Now, I think all of us came away from that game last night and we're thinking, hey, man.
Fireball.
Yeah.
Jameson. Shot quality.
Yeah, shot quality's there. Yeah. We have, especially early on in that game, that first half, a lot of good looks that just didn't fall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no real way, and you're watching it in real time, to quantify it, but just like, hey, eye test, I'm watching this. These look like pretty clean looks. They're just not falling right now. And hey, listen, if you're going to miss your shots all series, you're going to get worked all series. But over a larger 4-7 game sample, those shots are probably going to start falling. So when you look into the specific analytic that is shot quality, you can see last night's game, and it's pretty cool where they show, like, Dallas won the shot quality score for game one, despite the blowout loss. Like, the Mavs had better shot quality last night than even Golden State did. And they underperformed their expected score based on the quality of shots they were getting by 20 points. So they left 20 points out there on the floor. And what it is they also show, like, when Golden State emptied their bench with 5 minutes to go in the game, the Mavericks actually led the shot quality score by 2 points. They end up winning the shot quality score for the game by 2 points. They lose the game, obviously, terribly. But they have this of, this should have been a 50-50 coin flip win probability. Like, it was based on the shot quality of the game, this should have been a coin flip game. Then you get into a little bit deeper and they say, okay, based on the shot quality, the Mavericks were expected to score 16 more points on just three-pointers alone.
Mm.
So all the three-pointers that they missed last night, there was at least 16 points that were left out there on the court that you feel like, man, on most nights, you're getting those 16 points. They say this, Golden State, they were expected to score 8 fewer points on finishes at the rim.
Yeah, we're not blind homers. Right. We know what we saw.
Golden State was also expected to score 6 fewer points on their mid-range shots. So just based on the quality of a look they were getting at the rim or in the mid-range, they really should have had, with their shots at the rim and their mid-range shots, they should have had 14 less points.
Yeah.
So, like, their shots were falling, and that's how
basketball
goes. Is that a
30-point combined difference?
Yeah, you're looking at, because the Mavs have 20 points there, basically, that they left out on the court total, and you have 14 points there from, so yeah, you're talking about 35 points basically of difference there. And then Luka,
that's what teams care about. You know, they don't care about the final score. They care about how many times did we create open shots and how good were we at closing openings for the other team.
Right.
And they know if they have a collection of good shooters, those things are going to fall into place. And over a 7-game series, it's very rare that the team that creates more good shots and denies good shots is going to lose. 7 games is a lifetime in a basketball series, and it almost always identifies the better team.
Right. It's the being process-oriented over results-oriented. If you play the game out the same way that it went last night, it probably looks a ton different. Now, the one thing to keep in mind is Luka was expected to score himself 6 more points than what he did. Golden State was also expected to score 7 more points themselves on three-pointers. So their mid-range and their shots at the rim, they got a little bit lucky on. And then some of their own three-pointers, they got a little bit unlucky on. But overall, you're looking at, hey, the Mavs had quality shots all night up until they started just farting around and kind of give-up mode.
And Dorian Finney-Smith clanging off the front of the rim and then that wicked air ball from 8 feet. Mm. That was bizarre.
It's like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So you just chalk it up. Hey, bad night, great night for them. Wiggins is not going to be that consistent on both ends of the floor throughout this series. Kevon Looney's not hitting 20-foot jumpers. Like, some of this stuff is not going to continue. But based on the process of the way the Mavs went about things for most of that game yesterday, we should all still pretty, you know, feel pretty optimistic.
Okay, what's the truckwreck.com fan text saying about this? Chuck said it at half. Maps are not going to keep missing those shots. This is not making me feel better. Actually makes me feel worse. How? 214. Are your ears not working? Okay. Do you need to go back and work on your listening comprehension? I don't know how that could actually make you feel worse. What about their shots from three and the free throw line? 810. Yeah, Gavin, they don't care about losing. Ha, ha, ha. Golden State Warriors played better and are the better team. We played horrible. Well, I mean, you can't coach around shots going in or out. You can coach around guys, shot selection, creating space for yourself and teammates, denying space for the opposition. And they know, based on the math that every team is run by, if these categories check out, we're going to be a very successful basketball team. I guess you guys just don't understand advanced analytics. Maybe we'll get you a time machine, send you back to the 80s, and you can base everything, all your baseball takes, off of batting average. That sound good to you? I mean, we're trying to nurse you back to health, give you some chicken soup for the Mavs soul, but you're toxic, okay? I think you might be toxic and hungover right
this
now. You might need
funny.
To, you know, do a cleanse and some meditation a little bit later on, get
I
you back in a
good
state of mind. You've heard of Clapback Broadus?
Yeah.
You've heard of Clapback Cuban?
Yeah.
How about Clapback Jimbo? Fisher went upside Saban's head, and it's next year on 105.3 The Fan.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you guys think being a sore loser helps you win more? Like, you just hate losing so much that it jams you up, and maybe you're a jerk. Maybe it makes you look weak. But it just, losing doesn't resonate with who you are, so you got to blame it on something, even if you're delusional. Because the world is just not in order if you're losing. You believe you're such a winner that when you start losing at stuff, you're like, well, what the hell? The universe is way out of order. You guys must be cheating or doing something wrong because I am just a straight-up winner. I don't know. I'm looking at this Nick Saban story right here, and one thing's for sure, he's embarrassing himself, and he looks weak for one of the rare times in his entire career with his reaction. And I love Jimbo Fisher's response. We'll get you the details here, G-Bag Nation. I hope you're having a great afternoon. I think Wooly Bully's going to join us coming up at 4 o'clock. And we'll be rocking with him as he'll have Rangers pregame for you coming up at 6:30 tonight. But yeah, you know, I love this story from the A&M angle. I think Saban lacks some ethical purity when it comes to, you know, where he's at in the whole structure. Like, trying to be in the way of players getting paid in any way just is off to me. But more than that, complaining about somebody using the rules to their advantage when Saban has attempted to bend things to his advantage throughout his career is just complaining after getting outworked. You know, maybe he's complacent. What is he, 68, 70 years old now? Maybe he 70, doesn't.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't want to update his approach, but he singled out Texas A&M and Jackson State. First of all, the Aggies, for buying its top-ranked class and threw a spotlight on the unintended effect of name, image, and likeness. Says, I mean, we were second recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, likeness. We didn't buy one player, all right? But I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it. It's tough. Yes, you lost. You got whooped by the new rules, Nick. And now, instead of blaming others or calling them cheaters or suggesting something, it's time for you to add name, image, likeness people to your staff. He thought he was so good he could keep the Bama machine rolling old school, just like Jerry Jones thought he could create a salary cap. Like, the winning got him drunk, just like it got Jerry drunk. Oh, yeah, I can create a cap. Best players will still come to the Cowboys because they want to be Cowboys. BS, you know? They want more money. Sure, winning is nice, but money is a much more of a primary motivator. Saban said Bama players made $3 million doing it the right way last year and that only 25 players were able to leverage NIL opportunities. Jimbo responding, this is Clapback Jimbo at his finest. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy a lot of things you don't want to know. we build him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past.
Yeah.
Getting after him, Brian. What do you think?
No, that's a guy that worked together at LSU. Matter of fact, won a national championship at LSU together. And Jimbo, you know, I knew this. I mean, I knew what was about to happen because I knew the resources of Texas A&M. I knew that watch what happens to the University of Texas when they come. You think Saban has a problem with Texas A&M? Wait till Texas shows up in the Southeastern Conference. You know, these are schools that have huge alumni bases, very successful alumni that are more than willing to put their checkbook in the way of helping the program any way they can. Because a lot of them got success along the way because of what they did at Texas A&M or at Texas. You know, that it's just a fact. You look at this, you know, I wish at LSU that, you know, the one thing that the resources that we have at LSU, a lot of it is like with the, you know, with the oil and gas industry. When that thing is really humming along, you know, our alumni really, that we donate. Now, a big base too is our professional athletes, our football players come back and donate, you know, $2-4 million to the school, which helps us, you know, build facilities and stuff like that. But I knew that Texas A&M was going to be huge in this. Get ready for USC. You know, you got parents out at USC, they're paying $250,000 or whatever just to get their kids in school, setting up dummy companies and stuff like that so they could get their kids in school.
Aunt Becky.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So this should not surprise anybody. And you know what? You just got to do the best you can. A&M is going to be successful in recruiting because they're willing to, they'll recruit hard. They got great facilities, but they've got alumni that every time they're asked to step up and do something, they're willing to do it.
Well, Saban also called out Jackson State and Dion, and he says Jackson State paid a guy $1 million last year. That was a really good Division I player to come to their school. It was in the paper. They bragged about it. Nobody did anything about it. He's talking about Travis Hunter Jr. And then Travis Hunter Jr. tweeted out. He says, I got a mill, laughing, crying emoji, but my mom still stays in a 3-bedroom house with 5 kids, laughing, crying emoji, basically saying, yeah, that did not happen. And then Coach Prime quote tweeted his player Travis Hunter, who Saban is alleging got $1 million, and says, I don't even make $1 million, LOL, 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 LOL. Yeah. So even Dion is getting in on this. And you mentioned, aren't they, Dion and Coach Saban?
They work together on the Affleck commercials together.
They do the Affleck, so there's going to be a little bit of
war there. I guarantee you, I mean, Dion ain't coming on that program for being cheap. You know, he's not going to come on that, do those commercials for cheap. And I guarantee you, Nick Saban ain't putting on some blue jacket and talking to a duck for cheap.
Yeah, those commercials just got more interesting, forward.
But that's, you know, we all need to accept this is where we're going.
Yeah.
This is where we're going. And it's going to be, go ahead and, you know, like I think the athletic director at Ohio State said it the best. He says, let's all just create the Super League. Let's go. Let's just get this, and we'll work with the TV, you know, and that's what they'll do. And, you know, maybe you could keep, maybe with the sports, with the baseballs, the basketballs, you know, tennis, you could keep all the conferences and stuff together. But football? No. Uh-uh. The money's too big. The money's way, way too big.
Yeah, and the schools, the coaches have all been capitalizing on that for years. And now that the players are capitalizing a little bit, it's creating this big debate. Like, I can't believe the world's getting totally thrown out of order. It's like, well, yeah, you guys built some very selfish rules to filter all of the money to y'all. And now the players finally got a little bit of help from legislators in state Congress over the last 5 years. And they have the ability to profit off of, like, all you really had to do if you wanted to keep the system the same is just pay the players.
Yeah.
Now you've taken it out of your control by allowing the top business owners of universities to basically do fake endorsement deals with players. That's what it is, right? You're going to be a spokesman and get hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. You're going to be a spokesman for this company. So to me, I love it because any university that really cares about football and has alumni that really care about football have a chance to get in the game now, right? And there's a legal path for it.
Go take a look at the map of the highest paid state employee in every state. And the majority of them are the head football coach at the university. The majority of them are the head football coach.
Yeah, they crush.
Yeah. There's some places in the East Coast, the basketball is big. You know, some of those coaches make, you know, some of the smaller those colonial states and stuff. Maybe the basketball coach makes more money. But that's where we are. I mean, yeah, you're right. For years, you know, the players have not been, it's always been about room and board and books and stuff like that. It's not that way anymore.
No.
It's not that way.
You would still have control if you'd come up with a way to compensate them a long time ago, which is what you should have done. 817, your take is what's wrong with college football, Gavin? NIL should not be for recruiting, but for current players. That's just an arbitrary idea that you have, you know, to take away the free market. It's America. We're supposed to have a free market. I have services. I have promise of production, and you pay me for that. I mean, that's just some weird type of socialism stuff that's entering our sports world, and it's un-American, 817.
I wish we could figure out a way. I'm okay with the money for the kids coming in, but if you're using the money to take kids from another program, you know, if I'm back channel recruiting a kid by offering him money to, like, okay, hey, you get in the transfer portal and I'll give you $500,000 and come to my place.
Yeah.
Now, if you're recruiting kids with the money that are currently on scholarship at other universities, I don't think that's right.
That's why this has to go to a contract basis where I'm going to sign a four-year deal.
If Gavin, if you're a five sport,
but if you want to own me, you got to commit 4 years of that money. You don't just get to own me and then throw me out the door when you think I'm not worth it.
That's the problem. That's the problem. It's like, what if the five-star guy is really, or five-star gal is really not all that?
Then you better get better at evaluating.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's a lot, then you're going to be out of the game, just like a football team is. Yeah. What if you draft a guy in the top 10 and he's not good?
Yeah.
That's just the reality. Your job is to identify good players.
There's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars then they're probably spent on players that aren't good enough. And you know what? And those players are going to say, wait a minute now. Now, scholarships are year to year. You know, scholarships are year to year. Maybe these the NIL stuff needs to be year to year.
Saban apologized, by the way, in the last 20 minutes.
Oh, did he?
He said, quote, I should have never singled anybody out. That was a mistake, and I really apologize for that part of it.
All right. All right. Just that part. All right. Thank you so much. Good college sports discussion here in the G-Bag Nation. I love having brought us for this, you know, an LSU guy.
Oh, we paid.
He recruited in the SEC. Yeah, his dad was a bag man. He's all over this stuff.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
All right. When we come back, G-Bag Nation, what needs to change for the Mavs to take game two? Take center stage here on The Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.